It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, later in the hour, Charity Nebbe sits down with David Redlosk and Kelly Winfrey to talk about some new caucus research. But before that, a conversation I had yesterday, Wednesday, with Democratic presidential candidate, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, who stepped into NPR studios in Washington before heading to the Senate trial. Senator Klobuchar, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you, Ben. It's great to be on. Thank you.
I want to ask you about the Senate trial, first of all, before getting to some of your policy positions. We're at the point in the trial where senators submit written questions to be read aloud by Chief Justice John Roberts. I wonder, we're speaking on Wednesday, I made that clear, can you share a question or two that you are submitting?
Sure. Well, I submitted a number of questions, and we're figuring out who is going to ask each one. Now, let me make clear, when you ask them, you don't actually say it. You submit a piece of paper, and all you do is you call on the Chief Justice and say you have a question. So a lot of my questions have revolved around witnesses, of course, John Bolton, the manuscript, all of these things. And so that is my focus, is what is the status of witnesses? I have some questions, and either I'll ask them or some of my colleagues will ask them about the White House and when did they know about this manuscript, and do they have to actually clarify some of the things that they said earlier in the trial because of what's coming out? And just to kind of step back from the questions, for me it's been like being in an alternative universe because literally you've got Bolton there in the room where it happens, which just happens to be the title of his book. And then they're arguing little details about why they think certain things aren't right that the House managers said, when in fact we know the whole theory of the case is right because of the fact that Bolton has now verified it. So the big question for me is, are my colleagues going to really fulfill their constitutional duty, get to the truth, and are we going to have actual questions of actual witnesses? That's what a trial is, because zero witnesses plus zero documents equals zero justice.
The American public cannot see the faces of you and fellow senators as you take in this impeachment trial. So what is your sense of how long this trial will last? Are your GOP colleagues, do you see anything that indicates anything but the predicted partisan outcome here?
Well, I don't know how they're ultimately going to vote. My real focus right now is getting the witnesses because, you know, Mitt Romney, who is the Republican nominee for president at one point, believes that we should have witnesses. A few of the other ones have talked about witnesses. And I just keep looking at them. I sort of sit in the middle of the chamber next to my friends Sherrod Brown and Bob Casey and Chris Coons. And I look over there and I think, why did you run for this job? You know, was it just to buy your chair at the end of the time, which, by the way, we can do as a senator, so you can put it in your office? Was it to have a trophy on the wall or a title for the rest of your life? The American people sent us to do this job. And to me, that means let's at least find out what John Bolton has to say, since he was in the room with the president.
Another late-breaking news item, the New York Times reporting that aides to former Vice President Biden have discussed the possibility of seeking an alliance with you, your campaign, in next week's Monday Iowa caucuses. And now it's a plan, according to the New York Times, that would involve a pledge to help each other in precincts where one of you does not have enough support to win delegates. Are you open to such cooperation?
No. I know they approached someone who actually is not on our staff about this idea, and he said that we were not interested, and then our campaign has made very clear. I am surging right now. We just had a poll come out this last week, an Emerson poll, showing me at number three. We've had extraordinary crowds at our events, including this week when I had one break from the impeachment hearing and I got back to Council Bluffs and then came back. And we also got the endorsement of not just the New York Times, but also the Quad City Times, which is one of the major newspapers in the state of Iowa. So I, you know, you always appreciate when people think of you, but we're running our own campaign. And sometimes I wonder if these are tactics to get this stuff out there, to get people to support, come over to one candidate or the other, but it's not anything we're engaging in.
Mm-hmm. As you well know, Senator Klobuchar, polls reveal that electability It's there every election cycle, but this more than others. Top of mind for many Democrats. Also, polls revealing Democrats very anxious about beating Donald Trump. You have made the case in debates and otherwise again and again how you, a woman from the Midwest, can do what Hillary Clinton did not do. I want to bring up another poll since you're talking about polls. Polls tell us former Vice President Biden is far away the most favored candidate among Black Americans. This is a Washington Post Ipsos poll. Senator Bernie Sanders, second place. Your polling in this, according to this poll, you receive less than 1% support among Black voters. How do you explain this lack of support among Black Americans, seen as crucial to win a general election?
And it is certainly crucial. And let me explain. I don't have the name ID of a lot of these candidates who have run for president before or like the vice president. There is no doubt about that. And the polls show that. So it's on me to get my message out there and for get people to get to know me. And let me tell you, for the people that do know me, I have always done well in Minnesota in our African-American community. If you look at I had the highest voter turnout when I led the ticket in any state in the country. I did that by bringing in, yes, independents and moderate Republicans, but by making sure that our fired up base in the urban areas came to vote. I have two of the four African-American legislators in Iowa have endorsed me. And one of them just moved over, who had previously endorsed my friend Kamala. And so I'm very proud to have Ruth Ann Gaines and Ross Wilburn, who are prominent African-American leaders in Iowa. Again, they know me, and they know that my work on economic opportunity, that my work on voting, I'm the leader in the Senate when it comes to voting rights issues. And it is everything from automatically registering people to vote when they turn 18 all across this country, to an independent commission in each state on gerrymandering, to the bill I have with Sherrod Brown to get rid of voting purchase, something that Stacey Abrams has been leading on across this nation. They also know about some of the work I've done on the First Step Act and some of the criminal justice reform. So it's on me. I got to get people to know me. I don't have the money of some of my opponents that can run ads during the Super Bowl. I know that. That's probably my whole ad budget right there. But when I get out there, and I was just in South Carolina, I'm getting to know the community there, and it's on me to have them get to know me.
Few Democrats argue that the Affordable Care Act is working perfectly. Some candidates in your group say it's healthy enough to keep building on. Give us your vision of improving health care coverage in this country. You're not for Medicare for All, are you?
No, I'm not. And part of that is, if you read that bill, on page 8, it says that 149 million people, Americans, would be kicked off their current health insurance in 4 years. And that's why I'm the only one that's on that debate stage that's in Congress that did not get on that bill. So let me give you my plan. My plan is, first, a progressive, practical plan. I am well aware of the fact that the Affordable Care Act is now nearly 10 points more popular than the current occupant of the White House. So let's start with that. We have a lot of support for the Affordable Care Act because people don't want to be kicked off their insurance for pre-existing conditions because they want to have their kids on their insurance till they're 26. So how do we make it better? Well, you bring premiums down with something Barack Obama wanted to do from the very beginning, which is a nonprofit public option. One study shows that would immediately allow 12 million people to get health insurance that couldn't get it before and bring down the price for 13 million people. Secondly, taking on pharmaceuticals, something that didn't happen when the Affordable Care Act passed. I lead those bills on unleashing the power of 43 million Americans to negotiate better prices under Medicare. It's an outrage that Big Pharma got written into law a ban on negotiation. I would also bring in less expensive drugs from other countries. In Minnesota, we can see Canada from our porch, and I see those less expensive drug prices. And that's why I've joined forces with Senator Grassley on a bipartisan bill to allow for the reimportation of drugs. And then also Bernie Sanders and I did an amendment late in the evening once that got 14 Republican votes. So I know we can move on this. A cap on prices. quickly the other things I'd mention, because I don't think we're talking big enough about this.
We have about a minute before a break.
Mental health care and also addiction have to be a part of it, and long-term care, which is the elephant in the room affecting every family in America. I have a big plan for that, and I think that we shortchange ourselves if the whole debate is about Medicare for all instead of these things that are affecting regular Americans like addiction and mental health and long-term care.
Would your plan force people to pay for coverage even if they don't want health insurance at all?
Yes, I would bring back the mandate. I think that is an important part of the Affordable Care Act. But again, I think under my plan, more and more people would buy insurance and we would be all better off.
Let's get to foreign policy quickly. You say restoring America's credibility and repairing the damage you say Trump has done in the international community is something you would achieve if elected. Quickly, your first steps that you would take as president to do this.
The five R's: renew American leadership across the country, repair our alliances with our allies. I would meet with our allies in our first 100 days, make that a big priority, because he has been siding every step of the way with tyrants over innocents, with dictators over our allies. The third, renegotiate ourselves back into international agreements like the climate change agreement, the Iranian nuclear agreement, so critical to our world's national security, as well as the Russian nuclear arms agreement. Fourth would be to respond appropriately to international events, and that means no tweets in the bathrobe at 4 a.m, making policy announcements, and finally, reasserting Americans' values across the world. And I am just so excited to be able to share my plans with Iowa. My one last point is we need someone leading the ticket that can win. I've got the receipts. I've done it over and over again in rural and in suburban areas. I am someone that my whole career has worked toward getting things done. I've passed over 100 bills as the lead Democrat. And then the last thing I'd add is I wish I could be in Iowa every single day. I wish I could be there today. In this last week, I had never planned that I would be away. But I have a constitutional duty to be at this trial. And I am betting that the people of Iowa, those caucus goers, understand that. And they're going to show up for me.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment with Amy Klobuchar. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio News. And we're back with more of Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking at the moment with Democratic presidential candidate, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. She stepped into our NPR studios in Washington on Wednesday. Senator Klobuchar, to follow up on health care, we talked about before the break, we had a health care question from Bill Joel or Joel on our Facebook page. Wants to know, how will your health care proposal stem the tide of hospitals and clinics closing in the plain states because of low Medicare reimbursement rates?
That's a great question. And I have been really focused on rural health care because my state, like Iowa, has a major, major part of our health care is in rural. And so here's what I would do. First of all, by bringing in that nonprofit public option, it creates some competition to bring the rates down. I am really actually one of the things we haven't talked enough about with the Medicare for All proposal that I'm not on board with is it would actually, I believe, do more harm to rural hospitals because of that reimbursement rate issue that your listener raised. What I would do is strengthen those hospitals. One, we have something called critical access hospitals in law that keeps rural hospitals going and make sure that they are there. But there's another category I would add. Senator Grassley and I actually lead a bipartisan bill to have emergency rooms that are smaller than the critical access hospitals, but still serve a really important purpose in rural areas that have no other health care, keep the emergency rooms and some other healthcare offerings, at least keep those open, because we're seeing, as the caller notes, a major change. And finally, I would do something about consolidation. We have seen way too much consolidation in every industry in our country. I lead the antitrust bills in the U.S. Senate. As president, I could get them done. You look back at Teddy Roosevelt and some of the work that's been done way, way back in our country's history. It's really time we take on what's going on. And one more thing I wanted to note is personnel for healthcare. That's a combination of creating incentives for people to go into healthcare areas, everything from home healthcare workers on to doctors, and creating incentives for them to locate in rural areas. And the second is immigration reform. That is a really big part of making sure that we have staff in rural hospitals. I lead the bill to actually allow medical students who get their degrees, who are from other countries, instead of just sending them back, if they want to do the residency in an underserved area, like an urban area or a rural area that doesn't have enough doctors, that they should be allowed to stay and do that. Number one request I got in Marshalltown, Iowa, from the head of psychiatric services for the VA there. So I think you have a combination of workforce issues that are going to be very important going forward. This administration, this president, has taken us backwards on immigration reform and just hasn't helped with some of these rural employment issues that are so important to rural residents.
Of course, Marshalltown, one of the many towns and cities in Iowa with a large immigrant population. And also immigration, a point, an issue that a couple of our listeners registered on Facebook in their questions for you, Tiffany and Marilyn, to sum up kind of both of them. Tiffany's question, would you commit to repealing what she says a harmful policy, this migration protection protocols, your first day in office? What are you going to do about the detention center, asks Marilyn.
Okay, very good. So I have a plan out there for my first 100 days. I found 137 things spanning climate change and agriculture, 137 things that a president can do without Congress that are legal. And one of those things is stopping this heinous policy of separating kids from their parents at the border. A president can do that herself without Congress. Another would be closing down these private detention centers. I visited one, Homestead in Florida, and just saw firsthand the situation there. And I think that's a big piece of it. But we really have to step back if we want to get something done on immigration for comprehensive immigration reform. First of all, that is going to reduce the deficit by $158 billion in 10 years. And that money can go to help shore up some of the situation, a bit of it, in those three Northern Triangle countries, fix the asylum process, and beyond that, create a path to citizenship for like we did in the bill in 2013. This is an economic imperative for states like Iowa. We need workers in our fields, in our factories, starting small businesses. 70 of our Fortune 500 company CEOs were born in other countries. 25% of our U.S. Nobel laureates were born in other countries. Immigrants don't diminish America. They are America. So making that economic argument, I think, and making it clear that we have immigrants from all over the world that we want to have part of our economy and our country and are here now, many of them on legal status, dreamers or temporary status immigrants, that it's an economic imperative to get this done.
Senator Klobuchar, we have just over, 7 or 8 minutes left here. I wanted to get in an email question from one of our listeners, Tim. He writes, I am thinking of caucusing for Klobuchar, but see, she has been rated by some environmental advocates lower than her Democratic opponents. I would like to ask her to clarify her environmental positions, particularly on water quality, asks Tim.
Sure. Well, this is a great opportunity for me to get Tim 100% with me, because I know Iowans wait till the end here. So I actually have 100% rating from the League of Conservation Voters. And a lot of that has to do with the leadership I've shown on climate change. The first bill I ever introduced, actually with former Senator Olympia Snow of Maine, was on climate change. And I've done a lot of work on that, as well as a renewable electricity standard. And I see climate change as the existential crisis of our time. I've been a strong supporter of clean water and have been opposed vehemently to the rollback from the Trump administration. So I can't control what every group does that is out there. This happens all the times with these ratings. I would just suggest that our friends here look at the League of Conservation Voters lifetime score and also my score in the last year. And you're going to see strong, strong support for the environment, including on my very first day, number one priority, getting us back into the International Climate Change Agreement. On day two, bringing back the clean power rules. On day three, bringing back the gas mileage standards, and then introducing sweeping legislation to put a price on carbon, and making sure that that money that's going to come in from that not only encourages the technology that's going to get us to carbon neutral under my plan, but also goes back to people who are going to see changes in their heating bills and their cooling bills, as well as incentives for jobs in the areas that are going to see changes. Because if we don't do that, I've been through this once before with cap and trade. If we don't do that, we're not going to be able to pass the bill that we need to pass. And one of the things I bring to this, Ben, is that I'm one of only two candidates left standing from the Midwest. It's not flyover country to me. I live here. I am able to, as a member of the Ag Committee, talk about the work our farmers can do with conservation measures. I'm able to talk about the effects of the flooding in the Midwest and other fires and what we've seen in a visceral way. And I think that's going to be the best way to get climate change legislation passed.
About 4 minutes left with Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democratic presidential candidate, just 3 days out from the Iowa caucuses. David on our Facebook page, Senator, wants to know how, in other words, not exactly his wording here, but he wants to know how you can be for abortion rights. The wording of his question makes clear that he believes life begins at conception. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that people have their individual beliefs in America, and we respect that. That's part of our great country. But my belief, which is consistent with the law and Roe v. Wade, is that a woman has the right to make her own decision. And as president, I would like to codify that into law to make that very clear. There's other things that I can do, actually, that reversing some of the Trump proposals, including funding Planned Parenthood. I would do that and making sure that we reverse the domestic and international gag rules that they have put in place. And so people have their individual views, but that's mine. And I think people need to understand that. Another interesting thing about me that's not well known is that I'm the co-chair of the Adoption Caucus in the U.S. Senate, and I've done a lot of work on international adoptions and the like, and would be excited as president to carry on that work as well.
Quick question, Senator Klobuchar, what about this tater tot casserole? Is yours the best recipe, or do you have competitors, serious competitors?
Well, I think mine is the best recipe, and this all goes back to when Senator Franken was in the Senate. He started a Minnesota delegation bipartisan hot dish contest, and the first year he did it, I won with my tater tot hot dish entry. And the funny part about it is it contains pepper jack cheese. Mm. And when I submitted it, most people loved it. But there were a number of emails from southern Minnesota, which right borders Iowa, that it was just a bit too spicy for people. And so now we are having these, I'm not that surprised, but we're now having these hot dish events for our campaign all through Iowa.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Very quickly, before we go, we've been asking all the candidates, especially you with the busy Senate schedule and campaigning, how do you stay sharp mentally and physically during the campaigning and your Senate work?
I am someone that doesn't need a lot of sleep. Last night I got 5 hours, yay. And I'm someone that just is a curious person. I read a lot. I actually like movies. And I think that having a lot of interest and my family at my side with my daughter campaigning right now, that keeps me sharp and happy.
U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, thank you for stepping into the studio. We appreciate
okay.
it.
Thank you, Ben.